بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. If the brothers who are against the walls, if they want to come closer, inshallah, unless you've got a back problem, then I'm not going to force you to come forward. Inshallah, today we're going to be covering the last or the first surah of Juz-i Amma, 30th Juz, which is going to be our last surah before the month of Ramadan starts, because Ramadan is a few weeks away. We're going to spend, inshallah, 2 weeks on this surah, and we may have another class after that, but this will definitely for sure be the last surah we're going to be covering, inshallah. So alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He's given us the ability to be able to complete the whole of Juz-i Amma. We started last year or the year before last. It's been so long, I don't remember. But we started Surah Nas. Well, we started Surah Fatiha initially. It was Surah Fatiha. It was the year before last. And after Fatiha, we started with the smaller surah of Juz-i Amma, the last surah. And then we went in that order. So alhamdulillah, we're here at this last surah, or the first surah of Juz-i Amma, the last surah we're going to be covering from Juz-i Amma, inshallah ta'ala. And last week we talked about a famous scholar of Islam from the Tabi'een. Who remembers who that was? What was his name? Because, you know, I think sometimes we do these lectures every week, and you know, we leave and we forget everything we had, and we come back the following week and we're not building. We don't build on what we learn. So it's important for us to build on whatever we've learned, you know, remember things. Otherwise, it's just like you're starting again every single week. You're just starting again and again and again, and it's not really, you're not developing. What was the name of the Tabi'i, the famous Tabi'i? Sa'id Ibn al-Musayyib, or al-Musayyib. Some scholars said Musayyib, some scholars said Musayyib. And we talked about his life. Who can mention something about his life, anything? The talk was over an hour long. So anything you can mention, inshallah. Anything you can mention. Excellent, good. So he was one of the seven fuqaha of Medina. Excellent. Jazakallah khair. So he was one of the, he took a bullet for the team. Everyone else was looking down. Like, I don't know what to say. Jazakallah khair. So he was one of the seven fuqaha of Medina. And we talked about his life, just like we've talked about the lives of other scholars. So, you know, it was interesting talking about his life and also the lives of other scholars previously. And inshallah, maybe after Ramadan we'll continue talking about the lives of scholars. I think it's a good, something good to do. So as I mentioned, today inshallah we're going to be covering the first surah of Juz-i Amma, and it's surah number 78, which is the famous surah An-Naba, Amma Yatasa'alun. And the word An-Naba means what? An-Naba means news. An-Naba means the news. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this surah, He starts off by asking a question. And He says, عَمَّ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. What are they asking you about? Now, why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asking the Messenger of Allah sallam about what they're asking Him, if Allah azza wa jal already knows? Or doesn't He know? A rhetorical question. Good. It's a rhetorical question. Just like when, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to the angels and He says, how did you leave my slave on earth, when they go up to Allah? Of course, does Allah know how he left, how they left His slaves? Of course. So why does He ask them? So first of all, so that we can benefit from the hadith. Otherwise, Allah wouldn't even say anything to the angels. And it's also a way of showing one's majesty. You know, for example, if a king says to one of his subordinates, he says, haven't I been good to you? The person doesn't say, oh, yeah, of course you've been good, don't you know that? Of course, the reason why he's asking is to get the appropriate response. So likewise, when Allah says to the angels, how did you leave my slave? He wants the angels to talk about the righteousness and the good character of the slaves who they left behind. What were they doing? They left them behind worshipping Allah. They left them while they were worshipping Allah, busying themselves in ibadah. So this is why Allah mentions this, or he asks the angels this question. Same thing here, same thing with regards to other questions that Allah asks in the Quran. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, عَمَّ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ, what are they asking you about? And then he answers himself in the second ayah, عَنِ النَّبَئِ الْعَظِيمِ, they're asking you about the great news. Now what's the great news here referring to? The Day of Judgment. So the Day of Judgment, one of the names of the Day of Judgment is النَّبَأُ الْعَظِيمِ, which means the great news. Now, how do you say the Day of Judgment in Arabic? That's what most people think when they, translate Day of Judgment into Arabic. But in fact, يوم القيامة doesn't mean the Day of Judgment literally. What is يوم القيامة? What does قيامة mean? Excellent. Day of Judgment is يوم الحساب. حساب means to judge, measure or judge. So what does يوم القيامة mean? Yeah, from قيام الليل, which we're going to be inshallah performing, in a few weeks. So قيام means standing. So why is the Day of Judgment called يوم القيامة, the Day of Standing? Yeah, because the Day of Judgment itself is a long day, longer than any other day. So a person will be standing. And of course we know the famous hadith of how a person will be standing according to his sins. His sweat will rise a certain level up to his knees, his hips, his chest, his chin, and so on. So there's many names for the Day of Judgment which have been given in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yawm al-Qiyamah, Yawm al-Hisab, Al-Naba' al-Azim. Yawm al-Din is another name for the Day of Judgment. What does Yawm al-Din mean? Malik Yawm al-Din. I'm reading many times in the day. When we say Malik Yawm al-Din, King of? It's the Day of Judgment, but what does Yawm al-Hisab literally mean? Yawm al-Din, what does it literally mean? Owner of the Day of Recompense. Yeah, somebody said it. Owner of the Day of Recompense. What's recompense? Good. Recompense is paying somebody back. Now, why is it called the Day of Paying Somebody Back? Why is Allah? How is Allah paying somebody back for a favor they done for him? Excellent, good. Because on the Day of Judgment and Yawm al-Din, the Day of Recompense, you'll be recompensed with whatever you did in this world. And in a way, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala does owe us, inshallah, if we do righteous deeds. Allah Azza wa Jal has rights over us. We have rights over Allah. Allah's right over us is that we worship Allah and we don't associate partners with Him, as well as other rights. And our right over Allah is that if we do good deeds, if we do righteous deeds, Allah will admit us into His gardens of eternal bliss, paradise. So Allah does have certain things that he's supposed to do for us if we worship Him, if we obey Him. So this is why it's called Yawm al-Din, because the word Deen refers to recompense. And the same word is used for religion, for the same reason, because we're going to be indebted. And also, it's interesting, the word Deen has the same root as the word Dain. What does Dain mean? Debt. Dain is debt, because you're indebted. Or you owe somebody something. So Yawm al-Din is somebody who's owed something from Allah, whether it's paradise as a result of his good deeds, or whether it's hellfire as a result of his sins. You're promised either one or the other. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, they are asking you about the great news, الَّذِي هُمْ فِيهِ مُخْتَلِفُونَ, about which they themselves are in disagreement. Meaning people are divided with regards to the Day of Judgment. And some consider it to be something which will take place. Others believe that it's something which won't happen. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ. No, they will come to know. No, again they will come to know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now mentions the same ayah twice. كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ. That for sure they are eventually going to realize that the Day of Judgment is in fact true. And I was looking today about the ayat in the Qur'an, or at the ayat in the Qur'an which tackle issues related to atheism. And in a way these ayat also tackle this issue. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about those who don't believe in the Day of Judgment. Atheists don't believe in the Day of Judgment. They think once you die, khalas, that's it. And, you know, one of the arguments that here Allah is putting forth is whether you believe or whether you disbelieve, at the end of the day, what's for sure going to happen? The Day of Judgment is for sure going to take place. Now, sometimes, you know, people put this argument forward, Muslims to non-Muslims, to atheists. They'll say to them, the atheist will say, I don't believe in a God. I don't believe the Day of Judgment is going to take place. Or they may say, I'm an agnostic. I don't know. I'm not sure about what's going to happen. And as Muslims, a person will say, let's say, for example, there is nothing. Let's say there is nothing. Let's, for argument's sake, say there's nothing that's going to happen. Then there's no issue. But what if there is? You're unsure about the existence of a God. You're unsure about the Day of Judgment taking place. What if it is? Because you don't know. If you're an agnostic, you don't know. What if there is a Day of Judgment and you're not worshipping Allah? Then you're going to suffer the consequences. So logically, if you were to do something, if you were to choose something, you would choose worshipping Allah just to be on the safe side. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, they will surely come to know, meaning it's for sure going to happen. So a person who worships Allah, believes in the Day of Judgment, okay, is better than the one who doesn't believe, for the obvious reasons, obviously, as a Muslim in terms of our iman and paradise and so on and so forth. But the agnostic, it's better for him as well. Because if there is nothing, then he doesn't lose out anyway. He's lived his life as a Muslim, worshipping Allah according to his mindset. If nothing happens, he's been doing good anyway. He's been helping people, doing good things, you know, being good to each, you know, showing kindness, generosity, and so on and so forth. And if there is the Day of Judgment, as we believe, then also he's going to be rewarded at the same time. So there's benefit, you know, for him if he worships Allah. So it's beautiful how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions certain things for sure are going to take place. And it should, you know, make a person think that, you know, if a person was to weigh out the possibilities, then in certain situations it's better for him to do one thing than the other. And of course, with regards to a person's intention and why he's become Muslim and what his intentions are, what his motives are, that's between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we know, for example, when Hamza radiallahu anhu accepted Islam, he accepted Islam because they were harming the Messenger of Allah sallam. Abu Jahl said the most vile things in front of the tribe of the Prophet sallam. And so the people complained, the women complained to Hamza. Look at what they're saying about your nephew. He's your own nephew, the Meccans. Look at what they're saying. So he went to Abu Jahl when he came back from hunting. He used to hunt tigers. So Hamza radiallahu anhu was known to be a hunter. And he used to hunt tigers. And there were lions and tigers in those days in the desert, in Arabia. Not anymore, but they used to be. So he came back and he heard the news. They told him, look, this is what he said. And he was so angry, he went to Abu Jahl and he struck him with his bow across the face. And so he said, how dare you curse my nephew? Whatever he says, I agree with. If you harm him, then you're harming me. And then he realized he basically just accepted the religion of Islam. So he went to the Prophet ﷺ and he was worried. He said, look, this is what happened and I don't know. So the Prophet ﷺ said, how do you feel about what's in your heart? You know, think about what's in your heart and how you feel. So he spent the night contemplating and thinking, and then he realized that I'm upon Islam and I believe in Allah. And so it took time for him. The point is, it took time for him to eventually realize what was on his tongue to be in his heart. So sometimes it takes time. And you know, other stories are also mentioned. So a person doesn't question, you know, a person's intention about why he became Muslim. And this is why in the time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, the famous leader of the Muslims and the scholar, before he became Muslim, they would interrogate people before they accepted Islam. They would question them. And they were very stringent. Anybody know why? Because the Muslims were flourishing. And so people, subhanAllah, people would accept Islam to be part of this thriving, you know, empire. Just like people today, they copy, you know, or they used to copy Americans, probably still do, you know, or they copy Western ideas and ideologies and clothing and language and so on and so forth. It's just the way it's always been. In those days, it was the Arabic dress, you know, or the Muslim, the way Muslims were in terms of the Arabic language and even the dress and so on and so forth. And so Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, when he became the leader, he realized this is incorrect. Because if a person accepts Islam, we can't interrogate and judge and question why they accepted Islam and whether their intention was sincere. That's between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing a person can do to step between him and his beliefs and his connection with Allah azza wa jal and his sincerity. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the point being, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the Day of Judgment, and that is something which for sure is going to take place. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ مِهَادًا. Didn't we make the earth as a bed or as a flat surface? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shifts from talking about the Day of Judgment to talking about his creation. And the reason why he does this is because people are questioning the Day of Judgment and whether it's going to take place. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is now saying, if you're questioning the Day of Judgment, then haven't we already made the earth as a resting place, as a bed? Haven't we already done all of these things? What makes you so sure? Why are you so doubtful about the Day of Judgment taking place when all of these things around you, everything you see around you, is created by me? Haven't we made the earth as a resting place? وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادًا. And we made the mountains as pegs or as stakes in the ground. And Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he talks about this ayah and he says, this is so that it may be suitable for living and not quake with those who are in it. So the earth doesn't shake as a result. And subhanAllah, what's interesting is scientists recently, they discovered that the mountains do act as pegs keeping the earth stable and secure. And in fact, you know, they say the mountains that we see, it's just the smaller portion of the mountain. The part of the mountain that's underground, that's under the earth, is in fact more than what we see, you know, outside of the earth. So even Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, many years ago, talked about how it's something which makes the earth stable and firm. And this is from the miracles, scientific miracles of the Quran in and of itself. And sometimes, you know, I mention the scientific miracles of the Quran, but it's something I don't like to dwell on. I don't talk about too much, because science is something which isn't 100% anyway. It's theories and ideas, and they're subject to change. They can change over time, just as they have, you know. So when a person talks about these miracles in the Quran, which are, you know, scientific, then those scientific theories can be subject to change. And so if they do change and a person relies on them all the time, non-stop, talks about them, is, you know, uses them as primary evidences, then the problem is, if they turn out to be untrue, if they turn out to be false, if they turn out to be incorrect, then people will say, look, you know, your Quran doesn't have any argument, it's baseless, it's wrong. So that's why Islamically, it's something which, regardless if the Quran mentions it or not, is something we believe. Yani regardless if science itself mentions it or not, it's something we believe. If it's mentioned in the Quran, that's enough for us. And this is why the companions were the best of the followers of the Prophet ﷺ, because they believed without knowing any of these things, without seeing any of these signs that maybe we've seen today or we've heard about or read about today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, didn't we make the earth as a bed? وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادَ, and we made the mountains as stakes. وَخَلَقَنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا, and we created you in pairs. وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا, and we made your sleep a means for rest. When a person sleeps, he falls asleep and it just seems like a few minutes or a short amount of time, and then he wakes up again after 5 or 6 or 7 hours, in fact, even though it doesn't seem like it was that long. And he wakes up and he's full of energy, or he's supposed to be. He's full of energy, full of vigor, full of strength, wide awake, ready for the day. And this in and of itself is a miracle, because, you know, even scientists, they don't know what happens when a person sleeps. You know, why this happens. And the effects of prolonged staying awake for a long time, okay, how a person isn't able to function, okay, scientists still don't understand what happens to the body when you actually fall asleep. You know, up till today, obviously they have their theories, but they don't know exactly what happens. And this in and of itself is a miracle of Allah. And this is why, you know, when we look at the miracles of and the proof of Allah's existence, then as Allah says, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ, look at your own selves, don't you then see, don't you then realize? There's so many things about us that even, you know, human beings don't even know. Things that we do on a daily basis. You know, being able to, you know, wake up after a long period of sleep. And this is happening on a day-to-day basis. And it's something which, subhanAllah, you know, it's happening, even though it's happening on a regular basis, people tend to neglect and not think about these things. And subhanAllah, even the way the body works and so on and so forth. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا, we made the night, we made your sleep a thing for rest, so that you could rest and recuperate. وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا, and we have made the night as a covering. So the night is a covering for a person when he goes to sleep. The night is a means for him to rest and to sleep and to recuperate. It's shade and darkness covers everything. Libasa. Libas means a cloth, a covering, you know, a garment. So it covers the people. This darkness covers the light that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with prior to the night setting in. وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا, and He made the day for livelihood. A person wakes up in the morning, and we know the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ when he said that wake up early and make use of the day, because there is barakah in the mornings. So this is why it's encouraged for people to, and this is why scholars, they always talk about the importance of, you know, learning, memorizing Quran, and being productive early in the morning. After Fajr, the best time to memorize Quran is after Fajr, in the morning, because your mind is fresh, you know, and the air is fresh as well. It's the first thing that you do in the morning, and there's barakah and there's blessing related and attached to that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَبَنَيْنَا فَوْقَكُمْ سَبْعًا شِدَادًا, that we constructed above you seven strong. What is this referring to, that we created above you seven strong? Heavens, seven heavens. What does this mean, seven heavens? What does this mean? What are the seven heavens? Okay. Anybody else? Sorry? You can do whatever you want. I'm saying, what do these seven heavens mean? What are these seven heavens? So, sometimes we tend to get mixed up with regards to samawat which are skies, and heavens, which refer to paradise. So Allah in many ayat, He says, like verily we created sab'a samawat. We created the seven samawat. And literally sama means sky. And when Allah says the seven skies, sab'a samawat, Allah is referring to the samawat and the skies of this world. Whereas when with regards to the to paradise, then some of the scholars, they say paradise in and of itself doesn't just have seven levels. Some scholars, they say with regards to paradise itself, there are many, many, many levels. Because they mention certain ahadith, for example, when the Messenger of Allah said that the one who had memorized the Qur'an or the memorizer of Qur'an will be asked to recite and rise on the Day of Judgment. And this person, the more he recites from the Qur'an which is memorized, the higher up he will go in paradise. So scholars, they say there's many, many levels of paradise. And it could be the case that there are levels within levels. It could be the case there are levels within levels as well. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about sab'an shidada, the seven heavens, according to some of the mufassirun. Specifically, he's referring to the heavens themselves. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he says, the seven heavens in their vastness, in their loftiness, in their perfection, their precision, and their adornment with both stable and moving stars. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he's referring to these seven strong, okay, as seven strong skies of this dunya, of this world. So Ibn Kathir, he says that these are seven skies of this world. Allah Azza wa Jal, he then says, وَبَنِنَا فَوْقَكُمْ سَبْعًا شِدَادًا وَجَعَلْنَا سِرَاجًا وَهَاجًا. And we made therein a burning lamp. That as well as the seven heavens, we've also made within it a burning lamp. What's the burning lamp? The sun in and of itself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us by giving us something from which we're able to benefit from, and it's a means of sustenance for us. It's something which gives us food and life. It basically obviously comes from Allah, but the sun supports life in this world, on this earth. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْمُعْصِرَاتِ مَاءً ثَجَّاجًا, that we have sent down from al-mu'sirat ma'an thajjaja. He says we've sent down from the clouds, and the word used isn't sahab, which is clouds. The word used is mu'sirat, ma'an thajjaja, water which is thajjaj, which means flowing. And Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he mentions something interesting. He says that Ibn Abbas, he says mu'sirat means clouds, okay, meaning from the clouds, min al-mu'sirat, that we sent down from the clouds, from mu'sirat. And he says that this is like the woman being called a mu'sir. And the same word is used for a woman who's about to start her menstrual cycle, but it doesn't start, which signifies that she's expecting a child. So just like this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the clouds, okay, filling up with water, and then ma'an thajjaja, bringing down abundant and continuous rain. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, interestingly, He uses the same word, He uses the same expression to show the vastness of the water that's contained in the clouds, and how the clouds send down rain as a mercy and as a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah mentions the result of this rain and the consequences and the benefits of this rain. لِنُخْرِجَ بِهِ حَبًّا وَنَبَاتًا, so that we may bring forth as a result of it grain and vegetation. You know, we benefit from this water because things grow from the earth as a result of this. You know, different types of crops, wheat and barley and all the other types of grains that we benefit from this earth, rice and so on and so forth, and vegetation as well, fruits and vegetables. So all of this, if it wasn't for the water coming down from the sky, then we wouldn't be blessed with any of these things. So it's a blessing from Allah, as well as the sun, which Allah already has mentioned. So both of these things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and both of these are blessings from Allah azza wa jal. وَجَنَّاتٍ أَلْفَافًا, and gardens which are gathered together. Allah azza wa jal mentions jannat, which is a plural of jannah, okay? And then he says, alfafa. Ibn Abbas and others, they said according to Ibn Kathir, he said that alfafa, وَجَنَّاتٍ أَلْفَافًا means gardens which are gathered together, joined together, meaning, you know, gardens which are rich, gardens which are lush, and gardens which produce different types of fruits and different types of vegetation. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, إِنَّ يَوْمَ الْفَصْلِ كَانَ مِيقَاتًا, that verily the day of judgment is at an appointed time. And what's interesting here, another word is mentioned for the day of judgment. إِنَّ يَوْمَ الْفَصْلِ. So we've had Yawm al-Din, Yawm al-Qiyamah, Yawm al-Hisab. Inna Yawm al-Fasl kana miqata. And anyone know what Fasl means? Fasl means to divide or to separate or to distinguish. And some translations also mention a decision. And that's why you have the name Faisal, which means somebody who is able to distinguish. What do you distinguish between? Good and bad, right and wrong. So Allah Azza wa Jalla here calls the day of judgment Yawm al-Fasl. Because on this day, an individual will be separated from his friend, from his family, okay, from his loved ones, and he'll be entering into paradise, or he'll be entering into hellfire according to his deeds. So people will be separated. Those who are closest in this world, maybe they'll be separated in the Akhirah. And this is why the famous hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, when a man came to him and he asked him about the hour, and he said, I haven't prepared anything except that I know I love Allah and His Messenger. So the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, he said, Anta ma'a man ahbabta, you're going to be with the one who you love. Because when a person loves Allah and His Messenger, he obeys them. And so this shows a person's association in this world is something which will aid and help where he will be in the Akhirah. If a person socializes with the right people, okay, he'll be in paradise. If you mix with the wrong types of people who don't worship Allah, who are committing sins, then it's going to hinder you and prevent you and stop you from entering into paradise. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ فَتَأْتُونَ أَفْوَاجًا, that on the day that the horn is blown, the trumpet is blown, and you will come forth in multitudes. So you'll come forth in crowds, you'll come forth in groups. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he says, groups after groups. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, in fact, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he talks about this ayah, and he says that when this ayah was recited, he said, that which is between the two blowings of the trumpet, one blow of the trumpet will cause everything to be destroyed, the other blowing of the trumpet, the second blowing, will cause everything to be raised up, preparing for the day of judgment. He said, between the two blowings is 40. And when his students asked him, is it 40 days, is it 40 months, is it 40 years, he never said anything. And then he continued, and he said, that then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send down a rain from the sky, and the dead bodies will sprout just as green plants sprout. And every part of the last person will deteriorate except for one bone. Meaning when a person dies, okay, he will disintegrate except for a small portion of his body. And it is the tailbone, from it the creation will be assembled on the day of judgment. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu describes that the people will be raised up like when rain comes down from the sky and plants come out. He describes human beings coming out in a similar fashion. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَفُتِحَتِ السَّمَاءُ فَكَانَتْ أَبْوَابًا, that the heavens will be opened up And they will become gates. فَكَانَتْ أَبْوَابًا. أَبْوَابًا means doors or gates. Bab is one door, one gate. فَكَانَتْ أَبْوَابًا. Ibn Kathir, he says, this means that the heavens will open up and paths and routes will be created by Allah so that angels will start to descend. So subhanAllah, you know, very, very vivid images here. That the heavens will open up, paths and routes will be created by Allah, and the angels will basically come down preparing for this day. It's something, subhanAllah, you know, we can't even imagine how that day is going to be. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَسُيِّرَتِ الْجِبَالُ فَكَانَتْ سَرَابًا. That the mountains will be removed and there will be like a mirage. Meaning it will be as if they never even existed. They'll dissolve and they'll disintegrate as if they never even existed in this dunya. So, you know, all of these descriptions of the Day of Judgment really show us how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to begin and start the Day of Judgment, the Naba'ul Azim, this great news, Yawmul Fasl, the Day of Decision, the Day of Separation, the Day of Distinguishing between Good and Bad. So inshallah we'll conclude here and then we'll carry on with the rest of the surah next week inshallah. If there's any questions, then I'll do my best to answer them. No, this world won't exist. Of course, because when the trumpet is blown, everything will cease to exist. Then Allah will create a plain, okay, of land on which the people will be judged. So it won't be this earth itself. No, it's not going to be there. Yeah, Naba'ul Azim. So Naba'ul Azim means the great news. Azim means something, you know, huge, something important, something great. So it's something, it's going to be an important day for everyone. Okay, Jazakumullah khair. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.